Amen, amen. Let's pray together. Father God, as we sing those words, it is impossible for us to sing them hard enough or loud enough. For endless days, God, we will sing your praise as we are in your presence forever because of the sacrifice of your Son. Something that we will celebrate later this morning, God, as your children, believers, have celebrated for thousands of years, God. The sacrifice of your Son that forgives our sins, makes us whole again, and allows us to be with you, the one thing we truly need. God, we bow before you in awe of who you are. We say thank you for everything you have done and for what you are doing in and around us now. And God, as we take some time now to hear just a little bit of the story of this unique journey that we had, God, you are present here now and working always, but some of us had a unique opportunity to go and serve in a different way. So God, as we hear that story, I pray that you would speak this morning, that you would inspire and challenge us by the work that needs to be done here, that we can follow you more closely in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. Well, thank you, choir, this morning. That was incredible listening to you sing together. It's always a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's practical for Dennis and I to sit in the front rows because we're on the stage and different things, but it is also a huge blessing because we get to hear all of you singing behind us, and it is a wonderful thing. So there's always some empty spots up in these front couple rows. You're welcome to join us and listen to the choir as well. Sometimes that's okay. But we know the back fills first. We're Baptists, and this is just how we operate. That's fine. But we had an opportunity. We've been talking about it for a couple of years now, basically since the last time we did this thing. TJ19 was coming, and now it happened. And it's amazing how quickly that happens. We anticipate it for so long. We plan and prepare and do all kinds of fun things, getting ready to go, and then it just happens. And it's a whirlwind and an incredible experience. But thank you again, LFC family, and the other churches that are represented here as well, just for partnering together with our team as those that God laid it on their hearts. They were supposed to be a part of us, joined this journey, and we just had an incredible experience. We had an incredible experience. The things that you see and do on a trip like this are unique and special. And as I said, God is always at work. We're not pretending like something is happening there that God isn't doing here. God is meeting people's needs and caring for them here in powerful ways. But when we get out of our own space, things happen. And God is able to move and speak in ways that maybe we don't let him hear. But this morning, what we are going to do is, first, I'm just going to invite our team to stand. There's more of them here than I thought would be, because again, we represented a bunch of different churches, and we'll get into that more. But if you were a part of our TJ19 team, I just invite you to stand so that people can see your faces, and just, they did an amazing job for us, and let's clap for them. They sacrificed and took a risk. And thank you so much, team. And there's a number that weren't able to be here as well. You guys can sit down again. Thank you. But they stepped out in faith and laid a lot of time and resources and energy on the line to try to follow what they felt God was leading them into. And I think God moved powerfully in their lives in that. This morning, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to hear from all of them individually. And that is a real loss, because one of the things we did on this trip was I tried to have updates and posts and things, and I tried to have a little testimony video from each of them. And what stood out to me as I was filming them was how unique each of those experiences were. We had kind of two basic ministry teams. We had a building team and then a chunk of our team that went to do a variety of ministry things, but we called them the Zona Norte team because that's kind of one of the places they hung out really intentionally. And within those groups, the experiences were so unique, and what stood out to them or what God was speaking into them or the things that they saw were so different. So I would encourage you after the service to grab one of those individuals, maybe not physically, but invite them to share a little bit of their story with them. We've been practicing. They're ready to share. It's not going to be a 30-minute version because they've got their 30-second and 3-minute versions prepared as well. We do this. We got a thing down that we work through. But they would love to share a little bit of what God has been doing in their heart, what they saw and what their experience was, because that's a part of this journey, is sharing what God has done. Because you as a church sent us on your behalf to bless and care and do these things, but to bring back stories of what God is doing so that you can be encouraged and challenged as well. You were there with us in spirit, and we want to honor that by sharing what God was doing. So I'd encourage you to stop one of these individuals and say, what was your story? What did God do in your heart? What did you see that you can be challenged and inspired as well? But we do have three that we're going to bring up this morning. We got a little video, and then I'm going to share a little bit as well. But I'd like to invite those three to come up. Aaron Burkholz and Regan Feldbusch and Jason Robinson are going to share a little bit of their story one at a time here. Or should we have them all do the same time? That probably wouldn't work quite as well. But Erin was on the Zona Norte team, and she's going to share a little bit, and then she'll invite Regan, and then Jason will come, and then we'll watch a little video as well.
Awesome. Thank you. Hey, so, hi, my name is Erin. Just a little quick backstory. My parents are strong Christians. I grew up in a Christian home and was pretty much raised in the church. Now, that being said, at the beginning of this year, I really, really was struggling with fear and anxiety and stress, and it was just... it was really bad. It got to the point where I would get like so worked up about the littlest things that it would stop me from doing the simplest things, and it would pretty much control my day. And it got to the point where I would come home so mentally and so physically drained that all I would really want to do is sleep. And I eventually was just like, I'm done with this. I don't know how to handle this myself personally. So I just picked up my Bible and just started reading it. And a couple of the verses that stuck out to me was Matthew 6, verse 27. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And that really stuck out to me because it was like, why am I worrying? I'm not gaining any time from this at all. And another one that really got to me was Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So that was just kind of like, that really stuck out to me. And how this kind of ties into my TJ journey or story is when we got there, I had prayed and asked God to give me a challenge. And like Dustin had said, God put me on the Zona Norte team. And for some of you who don't know what that means, that was the red light district. So that meant like really heavy stuff like drug dealing, poverty, sex trafficking. And I just got this huge weight on my chest. And I almost wanted to cry when I heard I was going to be on that team because I was like, I can't do this. And as I realized that I just need to give it to God and I just need to pray about it, the more I prayed about it, the more at peace I became with it. And the more I talked to my team that I went on with, the more at peace I became with it. And as we started our journey, the very first thing that I experienced, like right from the get-go, was I got to pray for a Cameroon man. He was a refugee, and the things that he had seen, I tell you, were just crazy. And when I asked him what I could pray for, he said fear. And that just like hit me really, really hard to know that this man had literally escaped war. He had seen death. He had been across the jungle. He had like pretty much starved and survived. And he made it all the way from Cameroon to Tijuana. And yet he was so incredibly scared. And just like all he was saying was how his mind was just controlled by it. And he really couldn't do anything about it. And it was kind of funny because when I started praying for him, I was choking on my words. I didn't know what to say. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just like hit me like a ton of bricks. And I just started speaking, and it was just like insane. And I just remember not really knowing why this guy was so scared and being like, how are you so scared? Like, you've been through more than I have. You shouldn't be afraid. And it didn't hit me until after I had prayed for that man that that was the reason why God had necessarily put me through all the fear that I had been, was to be able to pray hope and to pray peace over this man. And so it was just really comforting to know that that was the reason why I went through that, and that we all have our reasons for what we go through. We just didn't know it then, but we'll figure it out later on. So yeah, that was just a little bit of my story, and I thank you for letting me share it with you guys. And now I will call up Regan Feldbusch.
Good morning, I'm Regan. I was also on the Zona Norte team with Aaron. I really wanted to be on that team. I mean, I would have been happy on any of the teams, but that's the one, like, I signed up for. I don't know why, but I was really excited for that. And when you go into that place, it's really dark, and it's really hard to be there. But we got to do a lot of cool things. We got to feed people. Almost every day we did something where we were feeding people, whether it was like 900 people or 300 people or like 20 people. And it's really cool when you're in that atmosphere to see how present God is, that like these people aren't alone. And so my favorite day, and also like probably the hardest, we made 100 sandwiches, and we just walked around a block in like the middle of the red light district, and we handed out food and water bottles to a lot of the homeless and everything, and as we handed out food, they would let us pray for them. And yeah, that really kind of taught me to have courage, just to listen to God, like about the big things, but also about the little things, like, hey, you should go pray for that person. And then instead of just being like, okay, I'll just stand here and do it in my head, like actually going out and praying for that person and learning their story. And when you do that, like the people really open up to you. They let you pray for them, and then they will tell you their story, and they're really vulnerable, and it's just crazy how thankful they all are. And they all have, I don't know, like, they all have a story, obviously, but then, like, every story is so completely different. But even in, like, this really dark place, they all have hope, and I think that that's really cool. And that was the part that really impacted me the most, I guess. And that was really short. But Jason, come on up.
Thank you. I am Jason Robinson. Good morning, everyone. As you can tell, I am not a youth. Nor do I have a child who went on this trip. I've got kids who are youth, but they're like youth and not youth. I'm not involved in youth. I didn't really know anyone that went on this trip prior to me going. I have a conversation with Dustin beforehand, and that was about as much as I knew anyone. Like, Dustin and I we've talked, and that was as much as I knew anyone. Like, I've seen Rudy do his thing up on stage here, and that's as much as I knew Rudy. I didn't know anyone on this trip. But about 6 months ago, we were in service. Dustin was talking about this trip coming up. They were still looking for people to be involved. And I felt God say, you should do that. And I thought, okay, that seems like a weird connection for me, but I suppose I could do that. And I talked to my wife, Kim, who normally would talk me down off of these things. And she said, okay. And that was about as much of a calling as I needed. So I came into this trip as, I referred to myself repeatedly as a tag-on. I wasn't really responsible for anyone. I was a grown-up, so I could do what I wanted because I'm a grown-up, within the rules of everything that we agreed to do on TJ19. But I didn't have responsibilities. There were lots of youth leaders, and they had to watch for kids. I wasn't one of those people. So I kind of went really open-minded and really saying, all right, I'm here for almost 2 weeks. God can make of this whatever he wants to make of this. I know he's awesome. I know he will do cool things for me. I know he has a plan for me and a reason that he called me to be on this trip. Let's see what it is. Let's not overthink this. I signed up to be on the building team, which was great. I have a little bit of experience in construction, so I'm like, oh, yeah, I can build a house. No big deal there. And really, the construction wasn't that big of a deal. It's super well organized. They know exactly what we're doing. They're hitting hammers, and that's about it. The house goes up in 2.5 days, which is amazing. And we had this great opportunity to build a house, build a home, furnish the house, provide groceries to this family, and it will change their lives, absolutely. And I feel very blessed and honored to be a part of that and to go through that experience and to hand over those keys, and it was great. But really the thing that was most impactful for me, and maybe not the thing that I thought that it would be, are the relationships and the opportunity that I had to really be in fellowship with these people that I knew nothing about. So not only the youth that were on my trip, boys, awesome, awesome, awesome. Team one represent. Team one was the build team. And we were the best. No offense, but it's not a competition, but if it were, we'd be winning. But it was the opportunity to meet with these kids and realize where they are in their lives and share where I've been. And it was an opportunity for me to, like, we worshiped every day, and that was awesome because I really like worship. And we were in devotions every day, and that was awesome because I probably don't do that as much as I should. And, like, just really being surrounded by God and surrounded by Jesus and people that were all like-minded, and we're all here doing a thing. And that was awesome. We partnered up on our build team with a church out of Winnipeg, a good chunk of them, and it was amazing being with them. I mean, like I say, I didn't know anyone that went into this, so I was as connected to this Winnipeg church as I was to the people who came from our church. I didn't know any of them. And in particular, there was one fella who was from the Winnipeg church, a kid there. And again, early on in the trip, I kind of felt God kind of saying, that's your guy. I need you to do some stuff for that kid. And he was super quiet, and immediately I liked his jam. He was really quiet and kind of had a really dry sense of humor, and like, I like this kid. And spent some time with him and prayed about him and prayed over him, and maybe a quarter of the way into the trip, he really came out of his shell and really started making connections and really started being more engaged, and I was so happy and proud of him. And not just him, but all of the kids and all of the people that were on that trip, I felt like I had an opportunity to just kind of plop into their lives where they were and share a little bit about myself and share a little bit about Jesus, and we all kind of grew, and then I'm just out, and that's it. I get to jump into their lives for a little bit and then leave. And kind of acknowledging that I'm not forever a part of these people. I'm just a little part of these people, and that's an awesome place to be. I guess my encouragement would be for all of you sitting here thinking, oh, that sounds really cool, I would like that, then you should do that. It's really that simple. Like I say, 6 months ago, my ears perked up, and God kind of gave me a push, and I did it. And now it's done, and it's awesome, and I'm really happy that I did do it. There's nothing holding you guys back from doing that as well. This was a youth trip. I am not a youth. You can still go. You can still have a meaningful impact in the trip. You can still come away with a lot of things. You don't need to go and just say, I'm going to go and I'm going to be responsible for things and I'm going to make sure these kids have a great time. You go and you have a great time yourself and you come away lifted and encouraged and all that sort of good stuff. So don't think, well, I'm not a youth, I can't go on these. You absolutely can, and they are amazing. Lastly, thank you for sending us. As a church, like Dustin said, you guys sent this trip away. And so we felt your prayers, we felt your encouragement. For some people, we felt your fiscal help. And thank you so much for sending us. It was an amazing experience, and we feel, I don't want to say the pressure, but the responsibility that we, many of us that went, are moved and changed, and we're going to bring that back, and we're going to try and show that and be different people. So thank you. Dustin?
Thank you, Jason, and thank you, Aaron and Reagan, as well. And as I said, there's lots more stories that you guys can hear, but at this time, we'd like to show you. If you were following along on the Facebook page, you saw some pictures and a little bit of different things that we were doing, but we'd like to show you a little video to give you a little bit of a representation of the kinds of things that we did on this trip. How do you begin to summarize an experience like that? If any of you have ever done something like climb a mountain, even a little one, and you get to the top, and how do you describe that to somebody? The exhaustion you feel as you get up there and the view from that place. Can you tell someone what it was like to see from the top of a mountain? You can't describe it. Even if you take a picture, it just pales in comparison to being there. And if you've ever done anything like this, you know what I'm talking about. It doesn't even have to be in another country. If you serve somewhere in some of these sacrificial and powerful ways, you can't tell somebody what it was like, the people that you met, the experiences that you had. But thank you very much to our team members that shared this morning. And again, please reach out to those that didn't have that opportunity, because their stories are so unique. It's impossible to summarize these experiences in just a few minutes. And again, we've had from our own church, we've done trips to Brazil. We've had several to Tijuana now. We've gone to Ethiopia and Kenya. God is good. And he is at work in such powerful ways. And what you experience in such a short time, the ways that God can speak in such unique and meaningful ways is powerful. We know, again, that God isn't somewhere else. He isn't at work somewhere else. He is at work here in Leduc. He is in your workplace, on your sports teams, in your house, in your family. God is working there. But somehow when we step out of our own context, when we step out of our own comfort zone, it can be a real catalyst to allowing us to hear from God in really unique ways. We're forced to rely on him in ways that maybe we aren't in our own comfortable places. And hopefully we can bring some of that vulnerability home with us. But it happens quickly. Again, if you've been and done something like this, you know how quickly we can fall into our own comfortable patterns and places again. So we pray that God can help us to hold on to that, whatever it was he was doing. But it was an incredible journey. It was an amazing team. We had four specific churches joined together from White Ridge in Winnipeg, and then in the Edmonton area, we had ourselves and Central Baptist and Northgate. But even within our LFC team here, I was counting, we represented five churches from Leduc alone. We had individuals and students that were connected to our youth ministry and family members and things like that from City Life and Ebenezer, Community Baptist, Leduc Alliance, and then obviously a huge chunk of our team from Leduc Fellowship Church alone. But it is beautiful to see the church come together to bless and serve and pour into the kingdom of God, because that is what this is about. A trip like this is a powerful reminder that the church isn't a building, and it's certainly not a specific building, but it is the people of God spread throughout this community and around the world, worshiping together, whoever they are, wherever they are, working together, caring together, following Jesus together. And the impact that we can have as the church is incredible when we submit to that, when we desire to work together in those ways. His love and mercy and grace and forgiveness, his blessing and resources, it's a powerful experience, an important reminder for us. So again, thank you for sending us and allowing us to be your representatives as the church in that place. The theme for our trip this year was I am. Light and fluffy, right? Easy verse. Coming out of Exodus chapter 3, obviously, as you remember, Moses is talking with God, and God is calling him to go and do something pretty remarkable and terrifying. And he just asks, okay, at least can I tell these people what your name is? Who are you that is sending me to go to these people? And God responds with those incredible words, I am who I am. Tell them I am has sent you. And in those words, he reveals that he is so much more than the small tribal gods that the people around Moses were worshiping at the time, especially Egypt, this powerful, incredible country and government that was controlling so much at the time and enslaving God's people. God was altogether different than the tiny gods that they were worshiping. God is. He just is. And everything else follows that. And coming out of that passage, we kind of really hunkered down around Isaiah chapter 43. And God calling us to follow in the same way that Moses was being called. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10, God says, you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nowhere, nor will there be one after me. Now, the first part of that sounds really good. That's something that we're familiar with. You are my witnesses and my servant whom I have chosen. Yes, we can do that. We can do things. We like to do things. That makes us feel productive, makes us feel useful, makes us feel even powerful, in control, because we are doing something. You are my witnesses and my servant. And we talk about that all the time. Jesus saves us, and then we are sent out to tell others. Easy. We can do that. But that's not what the rest of this verse actually says. And it was a huge challenge to me when we were reading through it and studying through it. You are my witnesses, my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand. We are witnesses and servants so that we can know God. We serve and so reach out to others and care and sacrifice and all those wonderful, important things, but not because we're strong and they're weak. Not because we're perfect and they're broken. But because God is saving us. We talked a lot about that as we prepared for this trip. The fact that we are not taking Jesus anywhere. He's already there. The church is alive and well in Mexico, and particularly with Principe de Paz and Pastor Jesus. I've had relationship with him now for almost 15 years, and our church for over a decade has been connected with him and just serving with him, connecting with him, and many of you have met him. Wonderful, amazing, godly man who is sending out ministry teams and missions teams of their own to different parts of Mexico, planting churches in other places and supporting those churches in sacrificial ways. It's amazing to be a part of that journey, but we aren't going to save anyone because God is already doing it. He's already at work in Mexico saving people. And so it really struck me, and we've been talking about this in advance. We knew this in advance, but it still struck me. The work that God needed to do in my heart to get me back to a place of just understand that I'm already here and you're not here to save anybody. I'm here to save you, to help you follow me more closely. I had to wrestle with this. We get to witness what God is doing and join him in serving people there so that we can understand who he is and follow him more closely. It's a humbling thing because we don't get to be the strong ones in that place. We had the opportunity to build a house for a family through your incredible generosity. And again, thank you so much for the sacrificial way that you gave to that journey and the blessing and gift that it was. So many of you sensed God prompting you to share your resources with this family. And I can't begin to tell you what an incredible gift it was. We got to spend time with Mario and Maria and their children. As we built this house together, Mario works construction, and he was working a couple of the days that we were there because they can't afford to stop. Their job's going to be taken by somebody else. So he was so, so apologetic on the Saturday when he came, and he was just broken that he couldn't have been there to help us on those days building. But Maria and the kids were there the whole time. She works in a factory, but she was able to be there with us and build alongside of us. And you saw some pictures of the family there. Beautiful family. They work long and hard hours. These are wonderful, hardworking people, but there just would have never been any way for them to pull together the resources to put together a house like this. And in 3 days, we had built and furnished a home for them. And I can say absolutely that this verse is so true. It is one of the most humbling things to be a part of. Of providing a house. I've done this a number of times and been a part of this dedication ceremony a number of times, and every time I find it almost embarrassing as we pass the keys around and speak words of blessing over them because they are so thankful and so overwhelmed with gratitude. And I just feel like it's not me. I just tried to say that we did not provide anything for them. God did. God gave you this house. And we were just as blessed to be a part of building it as you are to receive it. The gift is as much for us as for them. To see God's grace and care poured out so lavishly is an incredible thing. We received so much as we got to spend time with them, as we got to work with them, as we got to be a part of what God was doing. And if you've ever been a part of caring for someone, even in a small way, it doesn't have to be something as dramatic as a house. If you've ever been a part of caring for someone, blessing someone, providing for someone, you know it's true. You know that feeling, the joy. But at the same time, almost embarrassment. Joy at sharing in the love and provision and grace and mercy of God, but embarrassment at God somehow allowing you to be the face of that. The arms that are wrapped around that person, because the glory is his. The gift is his. And when we give, when we sacrifice and share, we receive just as much or even more than the person who is receiving that gift. Just like Isaiah says, you are my witnesses so that you can know and experience who I am. Our team in Zona Norte and Padre Chavez saw that as well as they served and washed dishes for almost 1,000 meals in that day. And it was very cute. The first day they were there, one of our team members asked, we're going to have to wash like 900 plates. Where's the dishwasher? And that's you. But they got to listen to the stories of the people that came and used the resources of Padre Chavez, these homeless individuals and people who are really struggling. And they're hard stories of abandonment and loss, addiction and sacrifice and struggle. They got to serve at the ranch, a ministry for addiction and homelessness. People in the hardest and darkest situations, abandoned, forgotten, seemingly hopeless, on the street. They worked with people that were struggling in addiction and under the thumb of gangs and drug dealers and prostitution and all kinds of horrible, horrible things. And yet somehow God's love and light shines in those places too as we get to be a part of what he's doing in those places. God is. And he's good. He invites us into his work to bless and care for others, to show you who he is. And a trip like this is a wonderful and unique opportunity. It's a special time, but the need isn't just somewhere else, as we are well aware. It is cool to be able to go to those places far away and see something different. But your neighbors, your coworkers, your own family need the love and grace and blessing of God too. The spiritual poverty and physical poverty that we see here in Canada, in Leduc, is real as well. People in our own church, people in the hospital, people shut in their homes that can't get out, need the warmth and care of Jesus. Who is God inviting you to care for? And I'll bet even as I say that, a face or a name pops into your mind. Don't dismiss it. That can be the prompting of God. Ask him how. How can you care for that person? Might be big. It might be something dramatic, but it's probably something very small. Most of the time it is. God only parted the Red Sea once. It's the little day-to-day things where God's presence is fully revealed. And we can be a part of that. Because you are his witnesses. The servants that he has chosen that you can know and experience him. that you can know and believe and understand that he is God. As we share that truth, that love, we understand it more and more deeply, and God becomes more and more real to us. So I hope that you can join in that invitation as our team that went to Tijuana did. Maybe God's nudging you again to do something dramatic, but listen, hear, see the need around you and how you can be a part of caring, reaching out, being God's hands and feet in that place. This morning we're going to do communion together as a wonderful reminder of the sacrifice that God made for us. He sacrificed his son that any of this is possible. Knowing how many of us would reject that gift as well and the hurt that that would cause him. But that some would respond, submit to him, receive that gift of grace. God did it. And now he invites us to share in that. So this morning you can see we have crosses set up around the room. We'd invite you, if you are a follower of Jesus, doesn't matter the church that you belong to, this is the table of Christ. So if you are a follower of Jesus, in a moment we're going to have the band come and play for us. And just take this time. We set it up this way so that if you need to as an individual, you can come and take the elements and pray through that. But I'd encourage and invite you as a family or with friends to come, because communion is a communal thing. It was intended to be taken in relationship, that we can see and understand in practical ways that the church is people. It's us. And we do this together. If you're not able to get around, I'll bring the, just flag me down. I'll take the elements and I can bring them around. If you're not able to get up, that's fine. But I invite the worship team to come up at this time and I'll pray for us as we step into communion together. Father God, once again we bow before you and we say thank you. Thank you that you are a God of grace and mercy. A God who journeys with us even as we struggle and fail and don't listen as well as we should. Ignore the things you're trying to lead us into, because sometimes, God, we do, and the blessing you pour out when we respond is so amazing. Thank you for the gift of service, that we can share the love of Jesus in these practical ways. And God, we know that that is special when we can go somewhere else, and thank you again for protecting that team, for leading us through that together. But God, we as the church are here in this town, in this place, surrounded by people, connected to so many people that need you. Show us, God, how we can serve in practical ways, how we can care and love in practical ways, share your gospel in practical ways. But as we come to these tables, God, remind us of the sacrifice that made that possible. Remind us of the freedom that we enjoy, and help us to live more boldly in that freedom. In Jesus' name, amen.